Ever since my young days of listening to the radio and becoming an amateur radio operator, I've always found it interesting to listen to people's speech and the words that they use. So I was amused at the article which appeared in the Living section of the Toledo Blade newspaper, written by Ann Weber, who is a Toledo Blade staff writer. The article is entitled, "From Webs to Gongers, We Share Ways to Communicate." Ann writes the following. "Ask for a burger topped with Uncle Andy's cheese, and the Hover family of Bowling Green, Ohio, will know exactly what you mean. To everyone else, it's American cheese." That's an example of what writer Paul Dickinson calls family words in his new book of the same name, subtitled A Dictionary of Secret Language of Families by Merriam Press, Incorporated, and it costs $14.95. He calls such words, names, and phrases linguistic curiosities because they are understood only by a small circle of people. They usually can be traced to a child or grandparent, and they can be passed from one generation to generation through conversation because they are rarely written down. Bear in mind that these are not words that clever people sit down and create just for the sheer fun and challenge of having created them, but just because they pop onto the fabric of the family or small group of people, he says. Sometimes words are literally secret language, definitely not meant for the ears of outsiders. One Northwest Ohio family, who begged not to be identified, referred to a visit from their fat relatives as a plopper alert. For the Hovers, Uncle Andy's cheese is a new twist on the family's original name for the rubbery processed goo. As Jan Hover explains, she always kept an assortment of cheese in the family refrigerator for when her children were growing up. Everyone preferred Colby, Kojak, Cheddar, or Swiss, except for her son Andy. He loved American cheese and ate a lot of it, so we started calling it Andy's American Cheese. But this summer, when her son Matt's children came to visit, they asked for Uncle Andy's Cheese, giving second-generation legs to that old term. Another one that came out of the Hover kitchen and into the family language is bird bread. That refers to the heels or crusts on the end of the loaf. No one wanted those, so when the inner slices had been eaten, she would tear up the crusts and feed them to the birds. One of the boys started calling the heels bird bread, and it just stuck. Sue Scott's term for sticky rice has stuck in the family for more than 40 years, says her daughter Karen Reiger of Sylvania, Ohio. When my mother served dinner and exclaimed, "Oh darn, that rice has cleekly," it meant the rice was stuck together in clumps. It was her made-up word that was used to describe it, Mrs. Reiger explains. I remember one of the first times she used it. She was frustrated by not being able to put her finger on a certain word. The first thing that came out of her mouth was cleekly. It was used to describe less than perfect rice, but also can be applied to clumpy spaghetti or other noodles, she adds. In the Faust family of Oregon, Ohio, the sentence, "I laid you an egg," has an inside meaning for more than 20 years. If my husband goes to the grocery store and he gets something special he knows that I like, he will say, "I laid you an egg," Marge Faust said. The tradition started when their son Michael, now 29, was about 4. His older sister Lisa, now 33, was already in school. When little Michael and his mom ran errands during the day, the people who worked at the bank, shoe repair shop, or wherever offered him a sucker. He'd ask for one for Lisa, too. He'd save it until she got home from school. When she got home, he would say, "I laid an egg." That meant he had a treat for her. Michael had no idea where it came from, she adds. The only thing I could think of was maybe when the Easter Bunny leaves you treats. An aunt with a sweet tooth inspired a term for end pieces of cake. Those were extra frosting. In Betty Studer's family when she was young, those were Auntie Florine's piece of cake, says Mrs. Studer of South Toledo. If Auntie Florine was there, nobody dared touch it, she remembers. And if she wasn't there, someone would say, "Can I have Auntie Florine's piece of cake?" Regina Smith's bad habit of making rolling traffic stops is known to her family as Mommy Stops. I'm pretty darn close to stopping, but I don't, admits Mrs. Smith of Norwood. When my husband was teaching the kids to drive, sometimes they did it, and he would say, "What was that? That wasn't a stop." And they'd say, "Yes, it was. It was a mommy stop." To which he would reply, "We're not doing mommy stops." But they're still saying it. Yet another Smith family linguistic tradition started years ago when her husband, Rob, would refer to napkins as kidnaps. More recently, he, Rob Jr., and son-in-law Todd Gordon have started talking backwards to each other and sometimes to other people. Mrs. Smith says, "They'll order from a restaurant like that, a burger ham with fry Frenches and a beer root, or say that they're going to the TMA to get $20, for example." The women in the family, Mrs. Smith, daughter Chrissy, and Rob Jr.'s soon-to-be wife Ashley, don't participate, he said. "We just shake our heads and pretend that we're not related." James E. Jones, now president and CEO of Family Services of Northwestern Ohio, says via email that his family has a lot of code words because we spend a lot of time in church or around church. His father was a Baptist minister and his mother was a children's choir director. So, for example, if any of the children needed to go to the bathroom, we were not to burst out and say that publicly. We would say that we had to hurry. And if one of the three boys had forgotten to zip up his pants, their mother would simply say FZ, verbally shorthand for fasten zipper. The warning system remained inside the family until the boys sang one evening at a church service. Mr. Jones picks up the story. "We marched up to the front of the church and stood there waiting for the organist to start. My mother noticed that one of us was unzipped and quietly said FZ, hoping that it would be taken care of with little notice. Of course, what happened was that all three of us, in unison, looked southerly and grabbed our crotches. The whole church burst into laughter, and my mother was red-faced throughout the whole song." Some other words that you might want to know about: wrinkles. That's the marks on your face from the sheets, couch, or wherever you were sleeping. Booga-woogas, the old comfortable clothes that we wear. Cleaning the birdcage, that's keeping somebody waiting for no good reason. Depiggerizing, to clean up a big mess, usually made by children. Eating your beans, that means mind your own business. Ghost poop, that's the dust balls under the furniture. Gonger, a gift that is too practical. Poopa, an acronym for pick up, put away. Reruns, well, that's leftovers at dinner. Toad cloth, a dish rag that has gotten too wet and too clammy to dry dishes. And wab, a measurement of semi-solid such as peanut butter or mayonnaise. And now you have some words that you can use in practical language.